Welcome back. You are listening to Cipherol Security Experience, and I'm your host, Nicholas. In today's episode, we will have a look at major developments from the past week. We will start with the FlightRadar 24 data breach and see how they responded to the incident. Next, we will have a deeper look at iPhone passcode bypass and see if you should really be worried about it. Last but not least, let's see how much of your data can smartphone batteries leak. Stay tuned for the experience. Do you remember when you are in an airport waiting for your plane and you continuously open your flight provider's application to have a look at the map showing the location of your plane? There is a high probability that you are using FlightRadar 24 for getting this data. On Wednesday last week, it was reported that Popular Flight Tracker suffered a data breach. A data breach that may have compromised email addresses and hashed passwords. Apparently, FlightRadar 24 didn't bother much to publicly admit the data breach via their official channels. Instead, they started sending out emails with password reset links, asking their customers to change their passwords. The email indicated itself that the data breach would affect users who registered prior to March 16, 2016. This gives us a hint that the company might not have been too careful with encryption prior to that period, thus allowing attackers to gain access to compromised data, even though this is just a speculation. A company representative highlighted that no personal information was compromised and noted that payment information is not stored on its systems. Strangely enough, FlightRadar 24 said that it was confident that the incident has been contained after the targeted server was promptly shut down after the intrusion was detected. The company claimed that the breached passwords were hashed, though it didn't specify the hashing algorithms or if they were protected using SALT, which adds an extra layer of security to the hashed passwords. The company has not said how many users were impacted, and its notification only mentions that the incident affects a small subset of FlightRadar 24 users. However, considering that this service has over 14 million users per month, and its mobile applications are among the most installed applications on Google Play and Apple Store, even a small subset could mean a significant number. To protect accounts of its customers, in case hackers manage to crack some passwords from the list, FlightRadar 24 has already expired previous passwords for the affected users, forcing them to set a new password before accessing their accounts. FlightRadar 24 says it has notified the Swedish Data Protection Authority in order to comply with the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR. It's good to know that the company has quickly discovered and responded to the incident. However, they could have published more information about it, since the limited information that was shared by FlightRadar 24 does not really place customers in a more comfortable situation. Ambiguousness in security is also probably one of the worst ways to handle data breach situations. Although it's understandable from the marketing perspective that a company wants to inform only those users who might have suffered the breach, it would be much more professional behavior if they have published information on official channels initially. Anyway, you are advised to change your passwords on other online services and platforms as well, especially if you're sharing the same credentials. Make sure to use complex and different passwords on your services, try to use password managers, and have a peek at haveibeenpwned.com, a website operated by security professional Troy Hunt, where you can check if your accounts have been compromised in latest data breaches. Next up, it's iPhone passcode bypass. All major smartphone manufacturers are concerned with security, at least I choose to believe so, especially when it comes to selling you something. Apple is notorious for advertising how secure their iPhone flagships are, and especially after the debate in 2016. Back then, the debate was about if manufacturers should aid law enforcement officials in unlocking criminals' phones, And this debate became very heated because FBI took Apple to court over its refusal to unlock the Sar Bernardino shooter's iPhone. At the time, the agency said that Apple was its only shot at getting access to whatever was stored on Syed Farooq's iPhone 5C, but it later used an outside vendor to crack the phone and get to its data. That's why law enforcement had to put pressure on Apple to unlock the Sar Bernardino shooter's iPhone, and why they are buying an affordable iPhone cracker called Grey Key. I will give you a short backstory here. Apple started encrypting iOS devices back in 2014. In order to access that encrypted information, iPhones and iPads require users to enter a 4 or 6 digit passcode to protect the device on the first setup. If the passcode is entered incorrectly on 10 occasions, then Apple's operating system, iOS, wipes the device and deletes the information forever. Similar techniques are also implemented in other major smartphone flagships. On June 22nd last week, a security researcher named Matthew Hickey has allegedly discovered that it's not that difficult to bypass the passcode lock, even if it is running the latest version of Apple's smartphone operating system. As it appears, one only requires working a locked phone with a lightning cable attached to it. Matthew tweeted that he discovered a way to brute force 4 and 6 digit pins without limits and also posted a demonstration of his findings. In the video that he posted, he showed how the attack works. Basically, when the iPhone or iPad is plugged in, an attacker can use keyboard inputs to enter passcode guesses instead of tapping the numbers on the device's screen. So when the keyboard inputs occur, it triggers an interrupt request that takes priority over everything else happening on the device. An attacker could create a massive string of inputs and send them all at once, so that an iOS would allow an endless string of guesses without erasing the device. However, after comments from the other security researchers and Apple itself, who stated that a recent report about passcode bypass on iPhone was an error and the result of incorrect testing, the security researcher went back and reanalyzed his findings, only to discover that the passcodes entered from the keyboards don't always go to the secure enclave processor or the SEP. So although it looks like pins are being tested, they are not always sent, and so they don't count against maximum attempts. This means that the attack is much slower than initially expected and entering just one passcode every 3 to 5 seconds, meaning that only about 104 digit codes can be tested every hour. Some of you are probably wondering, what is the Secure Enclave processor? Well, the Secure Enclave is a part of the A7 chip and also newer chips that are using Touch ID. And within the Secure Enclave, the fingerprint data is stored in an encrypted form, which can only be decrypted by a key available by the Secure Enclave, thus making a fingerprint data walled off from the rest of the A7 chip and the rest of iOS. Secure Enclave is also separated and has its own operating system called SEPOS. Unfortunately, there is very limited data available about Secure Enclave. I think that we should applaud every security researcher who finds out vulnerabilities or, in this case, ways to bypass the implemented security measures, even if those bypasses are not 100% effective. This will allow us to become better at security, improve products, and increase awareness. It is also one of the better ways to get secure and privacy-oriented products in the future. Also, keep in mind that Apple is rolling out a new feature called USB Restricted Mode in its upcoming iOS 12 update, which is said to make it far more difficult for law enforcement or hackers to get access to a person's device and their own data. So let's see how the story develops and what Apple will have to offer. Meanwhile, make sure that you are using different and complex passcodes and passwords on all your real devices. Mobile devices are equipped with increasingly smart batteries designed to provide responsiveness and extended lifetime. However, such smart batteries may present a threat to users' privacy. A group of researchers has demonstrated that smartphone batteries can offer a side-channel attack vector by revealing what users do with their devices through analysis of power consumption. Apparently, phone's power trace sampled from the battery at 1 kHz holds enough information to recover a variety of sensitive data. Researchers show a technique to infer characters typed on a touchscreen and to accurately recover browsing history, detect incoming calls, and the photo shoots, including their lighting conditions. Combined with a null exfiltration technique that establishes a covert channel from the battery to a remote server via a web browser, these attacks turn the malicious battery into a stealthy surveillance device. Researchers deconstructed the attack by analyzing its robustness to sampling rate and execution conditions. To find mitigations, they identified sources of information leakage exploited by the attack. It was discovered that the GPU or DRAM power traces alone are sufficient to distinguish between different websites. However, the CPU and power-hungry peripherals such as touchscreen are the primary sources of fine-grained information leakage. Therefore, power-hungry phone components can reveal user activity. To sum it up, researchers show the feasibility of turning the malicious battery into a spy by implementing a microcontroller to sample power flowing in and out at a 1 kHz sample rate. According to the tests, attackers can, with various degrees of accuracy, deduce characters typed via the touchscreen and get their hands on a user's browsing history, calls, and photos. Exfiltrating the data is also possible one bit at a time through the device's web browser. Since almost all phone activity is exposed, it becomes a very attractive attack vector. By correlating power flows with a keystroke, the context of the keystroke, like if someone is visiting a website at the time, and the events that preceded or followed it, such as taking a photo or making a phone call, attackers can reconstruct a coherent portrait of the user's activity, thus demonstrating and dramatically amplifying the power of individual attacks. From a real-world attack perspective, for a successful exploitation, attacker would need to insert their malicious battery by breaching physical security controls. But this can be relatively easy in case if user leaves a phone for repair with an untrusted service provider or hands the device over to the police. I guess we all remember how law enforcement used Geek Squad of eBay for unethical spying activities. After successfully overcoming physical obstacles, there is a need for something that would analyze power traces, such as a software or a kind of an offline AI. If an attacker overcomes this obstacle as well, then the exfiltration part is relatively easier, since this can be done via Web Battery API, where a user visits a malicious website. Now, Web Battery API is one of the major privacy leakage features, allowing websites to monitor battery statuses. This API exposes three main parameters, such as time to full charge and discharge, battery level, and charging state. Experts show that the charging state parameter, which has a value of 0 or 1 when the battery is charging or discharging, can be manipulated for data exfiltration via the wireless charging technology. Firefox browser from Mozilla has discontinued support for battery API and encourages to avoid using it. It is also absent in WebKit, which is a browser engine used in Apple Safari. But unfortunately, this API is still available and supported in Chrome web browsers. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope it was interesting for you. Let me know what you think, hit me up on Twitter and LinkedIn, send your voice messages via anchor.fm, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. You can also subscribe at cypherol.com. Talk to you in the next one.